Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27.
Matthew chapter 27, and I would like to begin reading in verse 62. The Bible says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure or as secure as ye can. And so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Of all circumstances that surround the resurrection of Jesus Christ, none are as astounding as the one recorded in our text this morning. This passage of Scripture brings to light in an unusual way how blind and foolish the human heart can be apart from the saving work of the Holy Spirit. How passionate the world is to suppress truth, specifically Bible truth, and how common it is for individuals to follow that which is fictional. As we consider the events leading up to the resurrection, we must observe that everything has come to pass precisely as predicted by God in the Old Testament and precisely spoken of by Jesus Christ during his 3 years of teaching and training. Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, as was prophesied. Jesus was rejected of men, as was prophesied. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, as was prophesied. Jesus was led to the cross like a lamb to the slaughter, as was prophesied. And those sinful men desired Christ to be crucified, our sovereign God was bringing to pass His will through sinful men. No man was taking the life of Jesus, because Jesus says, He laid down his life for his sheep. As we consider the crucifixion, it is vital for us to understand that no man was terminating the purposes of God. God's purpose was being accomplished. God's ordained will was coming to pass. Jesus rose again as he said. Jesus rose again as was prophesied. And yet there were those foolishly attempting to hinder God's work from being done. I want you to notice three events in the passage before us in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 through Matthew chapter 28, verse 15. We see first the attempt to prevent deception. Matthew 27, 62 through 66. The chief priests and Pharisees were convinced that a great heist was going to take place by the disciples of the Lord Jesus. They believed the disciples had one final trick up their sleeve to convince everyone that Jesus is truly the Messiah. They believed the disciples were going to steal the body of Jesus from the tomb and then use his disappearance as a platform to spread their fanatical teachings. This was the desire of the chief priests and elders. And they wanted to prevent from looking as if Jesus truly rose again. So what did they do? Well, the chief priests and the Pharisees requested of Pilate that his tomb be guarded. Verses 66 through 67, Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, stealing the stone and setting a watch. They did not want the disciples to go through with such a plan, so they made soldiers, armed soldiers, to secure the tomb. The attempt to prevent deception. And then we see in chapter 28, verse 1 through 4, the observing of the truth. The Bible says, "As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And despite the guarded tomb, Jesus arose as he said." And those who stood guard were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They felt the earthquake. They saw the descent of the angel. They saw the stone roll away. They saw the coming of the body of Jesus Christ out of the grave. The Bible says, and their soul was shaken. They became as dead men. As one commentator, John Gill, describes, they were seized with a panic. Every limb on them shook and trembled. They turned pale as dead men and had scarce any life or spirit left in them because of what they experienced. The greatest miracle of Christ was performed before the eyes of these soldiers. God providentially allowed his power to be observed in such a unique way. And yet we read in verses 11 through 15 that they would soon deny everything that they saw and experienced. And how would this be accomplished? How do you convince one who has seen such evidences to be silent regarding what they saw? Well, through a bribe, of course. There's our third point, the bribery to lie. Verses 11 through 15. The chief priests bribed the soldiers. Those who witnessed the truth, they bribed them to lie about what they saw and experienced. And notice the irony here, verse 13. The elders told the soldiers to tell the story of what they were seeking to prevent. Translation. In other words, originally they were afraid the disciples were going to steal the body of Jesus, and now they concoct a story about the disciples stealing the body of Jesus. Shows us the stupidity of men in their sin. And notice also their story included soldiers sleeping on the job while one escaped. And we know through Peter's imprisonment that soldiers who are on watch during an escape face the death sentence. And how would they know that the disciples stole the body if they were sleeping? Perhaps they dreamed about it. All this is nonsense. This is a bribery to lie. But all this does not matter to the chief priests and the elders. They are going to do their best to save their lives. And to save their lives, they must suppress the truth. And they must keep others from believing this one who is named Jesus. Now, for a moment, consider with me. Consider with me what this world would look like if similar circumstances continued to exist. What if there were those who considered Jesus to be a deceiver? What if there was a passionate desire to make the follower of Jesus look like crazed schemers? What if those in authority bribed others to lie about the reality of Christ? What if school professors told their students that if they do not deny Christ, they will automatically fail the class? What if employers threaten Christian employees not to speak of religion in the workplace? Of course, I'm speaking sarcastically to prove my point. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The same things that took place around the resurrection of Jesus Christ continue to take place today. The truth of God today is being suppressed. The common person continues to be bribed by those in positions of authority. But this is not the thrust of what I want to leave you with this morning. I want you to leave here thinking about the state of your own soul. I want you to see how lost one can be without the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see from this text how evil and deceitful the human heart is and what the human heart can lead to. The heart can lead to the greatest act of sin, and that is the denial of God in the midst of indisputable evidence. That is the greatest sin of all, to deny God when you have been confronted with God. It is possible to deny God, though it is written on your conscience that He is God. It is possible to deny God, though you witness the power of His creation. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." When you look at the power, when you look at the majesty of creation, you instinctively know that there was a creator. There is order in the earth. And there is no possible way that all this came to exist and all this function by a mere bang. When you hold a precious child in your hands for the first time, a newborn baby, you are holding a miracle. And to think that a heart and blood cells and blood and eyeballs were formed in a womb. And to call that an accident is nothing but mere foolishness, stupidity. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, it's interesting enough that today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, falls on April Fool's Day. And when we look at the text, we see who the fools are. The fools are those who deny God, though they have seen the evidences of God. The fools are those who persuade others to deny Christ when they know the truth in their heart. How is this possible? How can one come to this place? Well, Jeremiah the prophet tells us, Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Matthew Henry says, quote, that the best evidence will not convince people unless the Holy Spirit is working within them. Like the soldiers who guarded Jesus' grave, we will readily sell our souls for a lie if the Spirit does not intervene. In other words, others will continue to lie and believe a lie unless God awakens to the truth. And behind the deception of men is the deception of Satan, the enemy of God. It is the objection of Satan, who is called the father of lies, who is called the great deceiver, to persuade you to deny the truth about Jesus Christ. He, Satan, is the great briber. Satan bribes people to deny the truth of God, and he uses money, and he uses pleasure, and he uses fame, and he uses fun, and he tempts others to deny the plain truth of the Scriptures. Though there are mere humans involved, behind the scenes, there's an invisible enemy in this passage, and the enemy is Satan, causing others to believe a lie rather than truth. And that same thing is happening both outside and inside the church today. The great deceiver is blinding the eyes of those who do not believe. And it may be that some are here, present this morning, who are being bribed by him at this moment. It may be that you are here present with your body, but your heart is far from God. You know the truth in your head, but you deny it with your mouth. Let me ask you this morning, will you continue to suppress the truth? Will you continue to live in deliberate unbelief? Will you continue to believe lies and die without God when you have the opportunity to believe the truth and be set from the penalty of sin? Listen, God has you at this very moment here in this place to be confronted with the saving message of the gospel one more time. The soldiers saved their lives, but they lost their souls. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Well, these soldiers left rich. And no doubt, sin's pleasurable for a season. No doubt, they bought a lot of things with those riches. And while it looked on the outside that everything was good, that life was pleasant for them, deep down within their heart and soul, they knew what they saw and experienced. And coming to the day of judgment, those soldiers, as Romans chapter 1 tells us, have to give an account that Jesus is the Christ, and they will be without excuse as they die in their unbelief and rejection of Christ. Don't let that be you this morning. Don't be like the soldiers, bribed by the world, pressured, influenced by others to disbelieve and reject the saving mercy of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that word believe is to place one's whole confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ lived perfectly for you, that Jesus Christ died the death that you could never pay, and that Jesus Christ rose again victoriously for you to have salvation. That is the message of the gospel as proclaimed in the Word of God. It is the message of grace. It is a message that proclaims that we are sinners and we are in need of Christ to atone for our sin. But as I said, deception is not only occurring outside the church, deception is occurring inside the church. Well, what do you mean? Well, there are some who don't know it, who would never acknowledge it, but Satan has bribed believers. Satan is bribing believers to stay away from the Bible, from fellowship of believers, from the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Satan has some convinced that work is more important than your soul and your service for Christ. Satan has some convinced that money is more important than your soul and your service for Christ. Satan has some convinced that family is more important than the soul and one's service for Christ. Oh, we can talk about those outside of the church all we want to, and we can amen till the cows come home, so to speak. But there are some who profess the Lord Jesus Christ who are practical atheists. What do I mean? Well, they say that they believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the resurrected Savior, and yet they live as if He is dead. They live as if He does not exist. This is practical atheism within the church. And it is a prevailing truth. It is a very sad truth. And if this is you, believer, this day, let this be a day in which you resurrect to do the will of God from your heart with all your mind. Days like today give us an opportunity to confess our wrong before God, to look back at the last year from last Easter to this Easter, and to consider our ways and ask ourselves, have we been doing our all for Christ? Have we been living a life that is worthy for Christ? Christ died for us. And the Apostle Paul says, this is a persuasion that if Christ died for us, that we henceforth should live unto Him who died for us and rose again. Christ did not die and rise again so that we might do our own will. Christ died and rose again so that we might do His will. Believer, can I ask you to consider your life in sincerity? Are you seeking to do God's will? Are you seeking to know Him more? Are you living a life of holiness, of separation from this world? Do you honor His Word? Do you honor His church? Do you honor the preaching and teaching of the Word of God? Is there a sincere desire to let His name be known? Or are you spiritually asleep? Sometimes as believers, we can act like the soldiers. We can be bribed by other circumstances, by other people, and by other things. And we can live in a way in which we suppress the truth. We know the truth, but we are choosing not to believe or obey the truth. And that will only lead to great heartache. This is Resurrection Sunday. And God desires that our affections, that our love, and that our passion for Him would be resurrected. And that we would live as He has commanded us to live, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would seek to love Him supremely. If you are here this day without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not sure of your soul's salvation, I command you this day, by the authority of the Word of God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. To acknowledge your sinfulness before God, to acknowledge that Jesus is the only sufficient Savior and that He has the power and the ability to save your soul when you turn to Him, trusting in His ability, not of your works, not of your goodness, not of your personality, but when you trust in Him alone, you will be saved. And believer, if your heart has been cold, if you are suppressing truth, if you are placing more emphasis on anything except for the risen Christ, this is a day of reminding that we are called to take up our cross and follow Him. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we have heard the truth of Scripture sung this morning. We have heard the truth of Scripture expounded this morning, and it is our responsibility to then respond. It is our responsibility to take that which we have heard and to apply it to our own hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that You would awaken every individual here this morning. If they are lost without Christ, if they do not have the assurance of salvation, Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would save to the uttermost, and convince that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that nothing in this life is worth living for except for Christ. Lord, I pray that You would awaken believers to their need of serving this risen Savior, to serving the One who has died for His sheep. Lord, You know our hearts. You know our thoughts afar off. We cannot hide from You. We pray that we might fear You all the days of our life, that Christ would be magnified, that Christ would be glorified, that He would be known in our homes, in our workplace, in our community, and in this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.